For WKU Public Radio and NPR One, I'm Lamont Jack Pearlie, and this is the African American Folklorist. On our last segment, Joe Louis Walker spoke about his journey with the blues and how the British musicians who played blues were never in competition with their heroes. On this episode, Walker speaks about the appropriation of the blues in America, the lack of black representation of the blues in America, and the importance of critical analysis when it comes to dissecting American history.
American guys get in competition, so you'll have, you know, you like Stormy Monday? Yeah, it's great, man. That Stormy Monday that the Allman Brothers wrote, it's wonderful. Well, the Allman Brothers didn't write Stormy Monday.
Bingo.
T-Bone Walker did. And they say, oh, it was a mistake on the record. Well, T-Bone went to his grave trying to get the rest of his money because it was all messed up.
Right.
And I'm not saying the Allman Brothers did anything like that on purpose. Led Zeppelin did. We all know that.
Yes, sir.
You know, Robert Plant said, yeah, we stole from the best. Okay? But now, I think what you're sort of referring to is now is the sort of people are saying appropriation of the music. And what happens, how can you have a blues festival with no African American artists on it?
That's a major question that I have, right? And then in that, they say keeping the blues alive, where obviously there are black blues musicians because we listen to them all day, right?
Well, I'll revert just what I said. America likes its reflection in the mirror. Okay, so there's nothing you're gonna do. Look, regardless what part of the political spectrum you're on, if you want to know history, I'm a history buff. I can tell you who the real father of the United States when the Europeans came. It wasn't George Washington, it was John Adams. He picked George Washington. Okay, John Adams is the guy. He's the guy, okay? Now, I learned that in school, but I also took it upon myself to go further when I went to college, got a couple of degrees. So wouldn't anybody want to know that there was slavery? Wouldn't anybody want to know that that there was a trail of tears with American Indians being a genocide?
Yeah.
That's not to say that you did it. We know you didn't do it, okay? But critical thinking, which we call independent thought, you want your children to know everything. You don't want to tell them this much about history. Oh, we can't teach independent thought. We can't teach slavery. We can't teach that there was a massacre in Trails of Tears. We can't teach that there were 287 treaties broken against the Indians. We can't teach it. Well, you're in Oklahoma now. The Supreme Court just ruled that half of Oklahoma belongs to the civilized tribes, 7 tribes.
Yeah.
I'm part of that. Okay, because my grandmother's Indian. Here's the dichotomy. I'll just be honest. Half of Oklahoma, all of goddamn Oklahoma belongs to the Indians.
Yes, sir.
Okay? But we can't give nothing back. You know, we didn't pick all the cotton we're going to pick. But you know what? You're not going to get paid for it. And I don't want to hear it. Quit complaining about it. Okay. I understand it. I ain't asking for anything. I'm going to go ahead and do my little music and everything. However, the truth will come to light. You really mean to tell me you go to the highest universities in the world and you don't want your children to know the truth? For the life of me, and it bleeds over into music, it bleeds over in everything, and I think it's a disservice to everybody, you know, because we all have a story. But in America, which really great, we have a collective story. What we're gonna do with that collective story is, are we really gonna say that I can't vote? I was in Mississippi in the early 60s. My daddy sent me there when my grandma and them couldn't vote. You mean to tell me right now that there's people that say that we can't vote? Well, you know what? That's un-American.
I mean,
it's un-American.
Yeah.
I mean, if I went to my wife's Jewish and white, if I went to my wife and said, you can't vote, we got to get a Voting Rights Act for you. Well, what the hell are we, what's I guess Putin was right the other day.
Uh-oh.
If really? We cannot vote. I mean, there's no way I can be quiet about that. Absolutely. I mean, how can anybody? Because that's an American story. If one of us can't vote, all of us are in jeopardy. And not for one minute, don't think that this saying, they came for the gypsies, I did nothing. They came for the homosexuals, I did nothing. They came for the Jews, I did nothing. When it came for me, was nobody there to do anything. Well, I'm so proud of people like those young people in Parkland, Florida. I'm so proud of Greta. I'm so proud of the young lady who got shot in the face in Afghanistan. You know, I'm so proud of, because that's where my hope in music, in arts, and in the world lies. You know, because obviously that there is, I like it. Who is that lady came up with? Alternative facts. It's over with now. It's alternative whatever. It's not even alternative facts. It's alternative truth, okay? And so if you have people in the highest seats of power teaching young kids that, oh, you know, that thing that happened on January 6th, those were people, they were just going to see the Lincoln Memorial. Well, that's not true. Right. They tried to overthrow our government, the way I look at it. And when I say our, I mean our.
So, wait, let me stop you there and ask a couple of questions. Because you're speaking as if under America, there are many ethnicities, cultures, races, and the like, that there's a thread that goes through all of us that share an American story. But it is perpetuated that connection doesn't exist. And it's also taught that this connection doesn't exist. Is that, am I in the ballpark of what you're sharing?
Well, to a degree. I think...
I mean, this America, we're not talking about prior to 1799, when this was Indian territory.
Yeah, you know, 1619 Project.
Correct.
Well, but I think there's a devil on this shoulder, and an angel on this shoulder. And here's the thing. Sound like Joe Biden now. Here's the thing. It's like this. We are all, and people don't want to hear this, most of us are blood related. I hate to break it to you, you know. Hey, comrade 45, I hate to break it to you, but you know, you might have part of that S-hole country in you.
Oh.
And you don't know it. You know, you might have some American Indian in you, but maybe not. You will make a special thing for it, okay? But we're all connected, and there's no way around that. So how can I feel good denigrating someone that's Jewish or someone that's Chinese? I mean, what in what alternative universe does that help me?
Right.
You know what I mean? So on that same token, what is the sickness that permeates someone that has to shoot a 12-year-old kid playing with a water gun or put his knee on a guy's neck for 9 minutes and such? What is that? Where does that come from? Well, that's a human sickness. That's a learned behavior, okay? But when that hurt behavior is learned, it has to be outlawed, okay? It has to be dealt with. There can be no white-splaining it. Excuse my English, but I'm just saying the way it really is. You can't be in court giving passes to this guy and that guy because he gave you a, you know, did your line for you. And everybody says, well, we're gonna turn our head this time. We can't do that, you know?
So let me ask you, let's go back to the blues for a minute. Should the blues reflect that right now? What you just spoke, because you know, there's a lot of great blues musicians that still talk and dress as if they're picking cotton and they've never picked cotton.
Yeah.
And we have a issue today that is prevalent in the black community. Should the blues be addressing our problems, and not even just our problems, our successes today?
Well, the blues means a lot of things to a lot of people right now. And the other side of that coin is that, I'll tell you a story, and that sort of answers your question. When I was 16, I left home. I thought I was grown, my dad said, you got to go. So I moved in with a woman that was 26. This woman had worked with, she was a freedom rider. She had left Bowling Green with a bunch of other young people, like these young people around me now. And the first thing she did, she was on a bus that was bombed. And so when she finally got to Mississippi, she's like, oh, I'm finally here. So they said, oh, we're gonna put you with an older lady. We're gonna be safe. Won't be any problems. They put her with Fannie Lou Hamer. She said, Joe, I've never been so afraid of my friend's alive right now. Her name's Janet Klinger. She wrote several books. And she said, just the stories alone are harrowing.
Yeah.
And so my friend, still alive, went through all that and some.
Yeah,
and
because, right, well, do me a favor, before you finish your story, you have to give a short description of Fannie Lou Hamer and her living conditions so people can understand the gravity of this young lady living there.
Fannie Lou Hamer was beat by the police so bad, it ruined her insides and brain for years. She never gave up. I don't even know anybody right now, but if anybody's really interested, like this young lady has a PBS shirt on, they have American Masters about Fannie Lou Hamer, which any woman would be extra proud, any man, anybody in the world, and a lot of fight, because she was beaten half to death, damn it. But and she also gave a speech on the floor of the Democratic Convention when they wouldn't seat the black delegates in the Democratic Party, which brought people to tears, you know. So my friend Janet Klinger moved in with her, and to make a long story short, Janet got a severe dose of real history. And when she left there, she gravitated to California, because most young people did. They didn't want to deal with a lot of stuff, you know, because they envisioned it firsthand.
Right.
It's like what we had when all Portland and Wisconsin, we had all that going on. You know, the government had to do something. Because if they didn't do something, you know, too many people were getting together.
Correct.
Yeah. And so anyway, to answer your question, I'm downstairs. I'm 16 years old in my mother's house. We're having a Thanksgiving. And so I have Janet's with me. So I'm downstairs and we're downstairs, you know, having some fun. And my dad comes down there, you know, Joe, you were the white woman. You think I didn't know that? She's my girlfriend. What do you think? You kicked me out. I mean, you know, what do you think? And he said, I'll tell you something. If things go bad, like they was in Mississippi, she can go back to being white, but your black ass gonna stay black. And to me, that's what the blues is about. Some of us can have as many hit records as we want. It ain't gonna compare to Led Zeppelin. You ain't, it's that's not gonna happen. So I would give my secret away. I'm gonna give it to the world. So the way guys like me deal with it, and guys that I knew, Jimi Hendrix, Sly Stone, Arthur Lee, Robert Craig, Eric Gales to a degree, we all went to Europe. We all got to be known fabulously well in Europe. We got paid good. I moved to France. I lived in England. Wow. I lived in Norway. I got treated good, okay? And you know what? Newsflash. We didn't have no broken headlight, backlight. Boom. Because in America, if you black, you born with a broken headlight and a broken backlight. So I was just glad, you know? So the blues is like that.
Okay.
Just always remember, when it comes to whether it's acting, whatever it is, you need good people to step up to do things, because the more of us that step up, like my friend Janet did, the more, and they changed things. We ended up getting the vote. That's what Martin Luther King died for. That's what Goodman, Schwerin, Cheney died for. Two Jewish kids and a black kid died for.
I remember.
That's what everybody died for. And the thing that I'm talking about here is that was 50 freaking years ago. And now they just took the vote from, they're gonna take a vote from us now?
Again.
And it rests with one guy from West Virginia? Well, you know what? I got an idea. Why don't somebody ask Joe Louis Walker if y'all can vote? Okay? And then I'll dick around and say, well, I want bipartisanship and I wanna come by you. Okay, cool. But the vote is the vote.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to tune into our next installment of the W.C. Handy Blues and Barbecue Festival interviews, as I'll be speaking with Mississippi blues and gospel legend Castro Coleman, also known as Mr. Sip. For WKU Public Radio and NPR One, I'm Lamont Jack Pearlie.